Right, my friends, it's time to get started. Everybody grab a seat, please. Line them up. We're going to be in here about a normal time today. Thank you for being here. I recognize today for most of you, maybe all of you, is a school holiday. So you're kind of off your normal schedule. But we can't afford to miss anymore. We are in the second half. You guys have made it halfway through. This is week 7. Give yourselves a hand for making it halfway through. I'll tell you, it's all downhill from here. Here's where we're at in the curriculum. So you can see we're on Life Change. Let's put it up on screen. We started that this week. You have one more week to finish out your repentance plan. That's the footprint for the Life Change section. So you'll come with that done next week. And then the last three, it's just 1 week each. And then we're done. So you've got Life Change, and then you have Initiate Reconciliation. And then actually, do we have 2 weeks for that? We do have 2 weeks for Initiate Reconciliation. Then you have 1 week for New Habits and Go and Share. So keep working. If you've fallen behind, try to catch up. Do your best. You know, set aside a couple hours on the weekend. But we are on the second half. It's downhill. So keep working. You guys are doing a great job. I don't know about you guys, but this is, I like every part of this, but this is one of my favorite parts is every week when we get to hear the story of someone that has already completed all 12. And so we've got another great testimony is what we call it tonight, testifying to the work that God has done. And so I hope you see yourself and you hear yourself in these stories and realize, man, that could be me. So I'm going to pray for Jordan, and then Jordan Volk is going to come up and share her testimony. Then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Life Change, and then we'll get you out of here to discuss what you learned from those lessons and as you began your work on the repentance plan. So let me pray for Jordan, and then we'll get to hear her testimony. Well, dear Lord, I thank you so much that I can talk to you right now and that every single one of us in this room have the opportunity to talk to you. The one who created each of our lives, who thought of us and knew everything about us, who put us together and put us on this planet, and the one, you are the one who created this earth that we live on and this universe that we live in, and you created heaven that we know very little about, but where you currently dwell. You are powerful and all-knowing, and I'm talking to you right now. And I thank you that I can do that because my sinfulness, my breaking of your law, my distancing and rebellion from you has been taken care of by your Son, Jesus Christ, as you offered yourself as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for my sins and the sins of all who would come to you in faith and receive the gift of forgiveness and redemption through Christ. And I pray that, man, by the end of tonight, every single person in this room would have their faith and their trust fully in you and a desire to know you more and follow you each and every day and fulfill your purpose for our lives here on this earth. So would you move us in that direction as we listen to Jordan share about the work that you have done and you're doing in her life, and as we learn from your word and as we talk to each other about the work either we want to see you do or the work that you are doing in our lives. I pray that you'd move and you draw us closer to you. Help us to know you more tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jordan. She said, I urge you to surrender every part of your life to the Lord. And I would just encourage you, as you listen to her share, to consider, like, ask yourself the question, what am I holding back? Like, is there anything where you're going, I don't want to surrender that to the Lord? I know what he'll do if I give that to him, and I don't know that I want to do that. And she just talked about how, man, God delights in giving us desire for him and fulfilling that desire and satisfying us with a relationship with him. And that is what is available to you if you will surrender your own way and your own will to him. And I love Jordan's testimony that she brought everything, her own sin included. And some of you guys may be surprised, having gone through inventory, that you realize you have more a part in your problems than you thought, and that God still loves you despite your sin, and he's provided a solution for your sin in Christ. So I'm so grateful you got to hear Jordan's example of kind of learning that and discovering that and trusting that. And I hope all of you would have the opportunity to stand up here someday and share about what God's doing and has done in your life. I want to talk to you a little bit about life change. So let's review real quick where we're at. We started off with help, saying, okay, we're broken. We're powerless to heal on our own. We admit that we desperately need help. I mean, this step basically in two words is I can't. Like, you get to this point in your life where you're just like, it's too much. I can't. I mean, have you ever had a day where you just feel like, I just can't. I can't with today. And sometimes when you have like today and then tomorrow, and it's been a couple weeks or a couple months or maybe all of 2020 since March, and you're just ready to say, I can't, that is the first step. And remember, the cover of your books, everybody look at it. Look at the cover of your books. It says Regeneration for Students. And Caroline, what does it say underneath it? Walking the steps towards healing. Walking. It's an action that we do continually. So we don't just do help one time a couple months ago and then, okay, we're done with that. No, every single day we say, I can't. I can't today. Every morning when we wake up. And then step two that we talk about is entirely trust God, believing that there is a powerful and a loving God who exists. We turn our lives, as she said, she used the word surrender to him. Basically, in two words, this is God can. I can't, but God can. So I'm going to turn my life over to him. But I've got some patterns that are not good. They're not healthy. And so I need to assess the situation. And we just spent a couple weeks talking about assess the situation. We courageously and thoroughly examine our lives, and we invite others to walk with us. So we did these steps of inventory and confession. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the next one. But before we go to the next one, there was this quote that my friend shared with me. He didn't know where it came from, but I think it's really good. He said somebody shared it with him and it had a huge impact on his life. And as we go from our inventory and our confession into life change, this is a really helpful bridge. The quote is this: confession without repentance is just an announcement. So repentance is a big Bible word for life change. So if you just confess your sin, but you don't turn from it, forsake it, and walk a new way and allow your life to change, you're just making an announcement about your sin, but you're not experiencing any change. So repentance is really, really important. So we're moving on to the fourth letter, which is the letter L, and we say life change. We take action. And we make changes that God wants to make in our lives. So tonight I want to talk to you about some of the action that I think God is calling all of us to and some of the changes that God would want all of us to consider to make in our lives. This is when the rubber really meets the road and you begin to experience the change that maybe you've always wondered whether or not you could experience. And you've hoped maybe this could change. And I'm telling you it can with repentance. So this is in your curriculum, but I'm going to illustrate it with some pictures on the screen. Have you ever seen an article like this where it says in the headline, a lion attacks a trainer during a performance at a circus in France? Maybe not specific to France, but here's another headline, similar story. Lion attack at Russian circus leaves four-year-old in intensive care. There's a bite on her face that goes from ear to chin. Here's another one. Lion attack. British man mauled by big cat he had raised since a cub before the animal was put down. Now, odds are at some point you're flipping through the channels and on some random channel you saw some story like this, or maybe you saw somebody post a link or a video or a picture. But I think all of us have heard of someone, a trainer or somebody at a circus, getting attacked by a lion. And over and over again, this happens. Those are just three stories. If you search lion attack, you'll find dozens more. And people keep thinking that it's a good idea to get in a cage with a lion. And we understand a lion is what's called an apex predator. Their whole job is killing other animals. And yet we think, because we're prideful humans, that we can tame them and we can control them and we can protect ourselves from an apex predator. So this guy, this is the guy from this British attack. You actually see in this article, it has a video. I'm going to show you part of it. So let's turn up the volume and play the video. So that guy is outside the fence over there. But this guy is inside the fence. He's showing off for all. Uh-oh. So I'm not going to show you the rest of the video, but here's some still shots of what happened next. That lion got that man, and he dragged him across the field. You see the third shot. He's a little bit farther away. He left him for a second. Here's two more, and then he came back and messed with him some more. Now, eventually, the lion walked away. The guy got out with some significant injuries. He didn't die, but it's a violent video, so much so that I can't show you the whole thing. But why do I introduce this concept to you tonight? This is a random thing. You came to church. You've been coming here every week. I haven't showed you anybody getting mauled by a lion yet. You didn't expect to see that. But here's why I wanted to show you that, is I want that image to be in your head. Because I think some of us are like that guy. And it's not a lion, or it's not any kind of animal. It's not like you own a bear at your house, or a lion at your house as a pet. But some of us keep getting mauled over and over again by sin. And it's because we keep going in to the same cage. And eventually, so that man had been in that cage with that lion before. Every time he had tourists come through, he'd go out there and he'd do some tricks and then he'd come out and impress everybody. When we keep going into the cage, eventually the lion is going to maul us. And some of us, I don't think this guy would ever do that again, but some of us do the same thing again and again and again. And we're going into cages that are killing us. So let me give you an example from my own life. When I introduce myself here, I'll go ahead and do it. Hey, my name is David. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control, comedy, and a cold heart. Hi, guys. So one of my, the one in the middle is comedy, and that one's kind of random to people, but it's something that I need to recover from. When I was younger, like 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I was the runt. I was the smallest kid. Every girl I had a crush on, I got friend-zoned. I've told you part of this story before on orientation, and it was something that really made me insecure and self-conscious and made me actually hate myself and be depressed for a while, is because I wanted something so badly, and I felt unworthy to get it. And so one way, because I wasn't attractive to women, I wasn't athletic or as strong as all of my friends, one way I compensated and tried to get attention and to get people to like me was by trying to be funny all the time. And eventually it worked. It was a way to assert power and get attention and find my position, but it became a habit and a crutch that started getting me into trouble, especially after I became a Christian, started walking with Jesus, wanting other people to know Jesus. My tongue, my words would get me into trouble. Out of my insecurity, I would try to be funny, and I would either hurt people by being mean to them, saying mean things about them, or I would say inappropriate things to get a laugh, and I would confuse people about what a Christian young man was like because of the jokes that I would tell. I would talk just like the world, just like the movies and the TV shows that I would see, not like Christ would have me talk. So comedy became something that was hurting me. It was hurting my ability to witness for Christ, and it was hurting my ability to love other people. And so how did comedy attack me? What was the lion's cage? For me, it was rated R movies that were like rated R comedies, and it was TV shows like one I used to watch all the time was Saturday Night Live. And when I went through this program, one of my repentance plans was I need to get out of the lion cage of comedy. I need to stop watching these stand-up comedians, these comedy sketch shows, and these movies, because every time I go in there, it puts the ideas in my head and they come out of my mouth. And so I need to stop going to the lion cage. Now, that might not be true for you. What are some examples for you? I think there are so many teenagers today that your phone is a lion cage. So many teenagers today are getting caught up and mauled by pornography when they access it through their phone. Maybe it is a certain team that you are on. Whenever you're in that environment, you are tempted to sin. Maybe it's a certain school that you go to or concert venues. You haven't been to one in a while, but maybe that's a lion cage where you go to those. Certain parties, friends' houses. Maybe it is apps. There are different places that we go where every time we go there, whether physical or digital locations, where sin is mauling us. So I want to show you an example from God's word and give you three principles before I send you off to your rooms. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. This story was in your curriculum, but this is Jesus walking around. He's teaching. There's crowds following him. Jesus went out to the shoreline again, and he taught the crowds that were coming to him. And as he walked along, he saw this guy named Levi. And Levi, he was the son of Alphaeus, and he was sitting in a tax collector's booth. Now, I have that highlighted because this is really important. In this day and age, here's how tax collecting worked. They were in Israel. He was an Israelite, but Israel was overtaken and being run by the Romans. So another group of people, the Roman Empire, had come down and taken over Israel, and they were in charge, and they would hire Israelites to collect taxes to pay to Rome. So everybody in Israel, their enemy, their greatest enemy is Rome, because they're occupying, dominating, and overtaxing their area. And the worst people in Israel were the native Israelites who were traitors working for Rome, taking money from their own people. And not only that, the way they got paid is they would use the authority of the Roman government to take more taxes than they were supposed to and keep the extra money for themselves. So tax collectors were scum. And so Levi is sitting at his tax collector's booth, and Jesus sees him, and Jesus doesn't say, "You scum, stop it." Instead, Jesus says, "Follow me and be my disciple." And Levi then got up and followed him. And so the first thing I want to challenge you to do is this. Do what Levi did and get out of the cage. Another way to say it that we say a lot in regeneration is change your playground. See, Levi realized that his tax collector booth and all his tax collector friends, all the other traitors, all the other cheaters, all the other greedy people that were seeking power and control, right? And everything about that job, it was like a lion cage to him. And he realized when he saw Jesus that he wasn't getting what he wanted in the tax collector's booth. He was getting the opposite of what he wanted. It was actually a cage to him that was enslaving him to sin. And he realized his first step was he needed to step out. And it says he got up and he went out of the tax collector's booth. So the first challenge is for you guys to get out of the cage. And I want to challenge you to talk with your groups. Where are places you need to stop going? Whether it's friend groups, whether it's teams that you're on, you need to quit because they're a bad influence on you. Whether it's apps you need to delete from your phone, websites you need to block completely, whatever it is, restrictions you need to put on a computer back at home, whatever cage you keep going back into where sin is mauling you, how do you get out of that cage? How do you change your playground? Let's go back to the story of Levi and see what happens next. It says, later Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many of this kind among Jesus' followers. Just a quick pause. You should be encouraged when you read what's up on the screen right now, because if you ever feel like me, you feel like a sinner. And I'm encouraged to know that there were many people who had a bad reputation and were sinners that were among Jesus' followers. You can follow Jesus and be a person who has struggled with sin. That gives me hope and encouragement. But I want you to notice what Levi did. Not only did he get up out of his tax collector's booth and change his playground, he invited Jesus and his followers into his house. He made new friends with other people who were following Jesus. So this is the second thing I want to challenge you to do is this: walk with the wise. So change your playground and also change your playmates. So you need to go play on another playground, and you need to play on that playground with other playmates, because some of the worst influences in your life right now are your closest friends. And they're the people that are dragging you into sin. And I'm asking you to do something that's really hard: to consider walking with and starting new friendships with other people who want to live differently than the way you have been living. There's this quote by this guy named Jim Rohn. I don't know who he is, but I think it's a really great quote. It says, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." And I want you to really think about that. Like, is that true? Do friend groups start to act like one another? Like, if you have a friend that starts hanging out with some other people, you know what's going to happen. That friend's going to change, and they're going to start acting like those other people more and more. And the same happens to you. The Bible says this truth another way. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. You become the average of the wise people you hang around with. But if you associate with fools, you get in trouble. You become a fool. So how good are your friendships? I think Levi challenges us. He gets up, he leaves his tax collector booth, he changes his playground, and then he goes, all right, Jesus, you and your disciples, come over. I'm going to change my playmates too, and I'm going to make new friends. And the last thing I want to challenge you with is what's in this lesson. Your third lesson you did this week is a repentance plan, changing your purpose. The way this story ends, I don't have the rest of the story on scripture because it's long, but this guy Levi, who was a tax collector and a disreputable sinner and was a scum, but Jesus said, hey, come follow me. And so he got up and he left his playground and he changed his playmates. Jesus eventually changed his name from Levi to Matthew because of how significantly his life has changed. And Matthew is actually the author of the first book of the New Testament in your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was written by this guy. So not only did he change where he was hanging around and who he was hanging around with, he changed the whole purpose of his life. Instead of living for himself and his own wealth and his own comfort and his own security and his own power and his own position, trying to get that from the Romans, he started living for Jesus. And his whole life came about telling other people about this God who had come to earth and offered his life as a sacrifice for humanity's sins, who rose from the dead, who left his spirit here, ascended to heaven, and promised to return, and started building a church through all who would trust and follow him. Matthew got the opportunity to have the purpose of his life changed. It went from being all about himself to being all about Jesus. And you and I just read his story today, 2,000 years later. And you too can change your purpose. So the letter L is life change. We take action and we make changes that God wants to make in our lives. And the curriculum will guide you to what those actions and what those changes are. And I want to make sure everybody saw on your repentance plan in your book this link to this website called openbible.info. And then you got to hit /topics. And this is an incredible resource to help you guys complete your repentance plan. All you have to do at the top in there is, what does the Bible say about? And you can type in anything: anxiety, lust, pornography, self-harm, fear, whatever it is. And then you can find all the Bible verses that talk about those topics. So if you have particular things you're struggling with, you can go find scriptures for those things. So for me, I couldn't type in comedy. I didn't get great results for that, but you could type in words or speech or the tongue, and it will give you all the scriptures to help you, point you in the right direction to see the actions and the changes that God wants to make in your life. So take a picture of this next screen. These are a few questions in addition to just reviewing what the lessons are. I think these would be really helpful for you to discuss in your step groups. You don't have to get through all of them. If you just talk about your curriculum the whole time, that's great. But I think it'd be good for everybody to think about these things. What are the, quote, lion cages you need to stop going into? Here's the thing, guys. I want to challenge you to say this out loud. Because some of you are sitting there and you're listening to me talk and you're thinking, you know, every time I go to this person's house or I go out with this group of people, it ends up getting me into trouble. Every time I pick up my phone after midnight, that's a lion cage for me. Every time I pick up my phone and there's no one else in the house, that's a lion cage for me. And I need to say it out loud so others can hear it and they can encourage me and ask me about it and hold me accountable to getting out of that lion cage. So I'd encourage everybody to answer that question out loud with others. Number two, who gets you into trouble and how do those associations need to change? Because I want you to notice the party that Levi threw when he had Jesus and the disciples over to his house for dinner. All his old friends were there too. So I'm not encouraging you, abandon all your old friends, never talk to them again. But the friends that you have that have gotten you into trouble, those associations do need to change. And maybe they shouldn't be the most important relationships in your life that define you. And then number three, what is your specific action plan? That is what a repentance plan really helps you draw up. And so when you're thinking about changing your playground and your playmates, like, what are you actually going to do? It may be a conversation with your parents saying, hey, I need you to help me put some restrictions on this phone. Or, hey, I think I need to quit this team that I'm on because this group of people is a bad influence for me. Some of you guys, it might be a really hard conversation about changing schools to change your playground and your playmates. Some of it may just be confessing to your parents or other close friends in your life, like, hey, this group of people, I need you to never let me go out with them because I've gotten into trouble when I've done that before. But like, what is the specific action plan? The conversations or the decisions that you need to make and push each other to being really specific about action that God would have you take. And you get to talk about this week, and then next week you'll have a little bit more time as well. So let me pray for you real quick, and I'll dismiss you group by group. Lord, I pray for us this week that we would really clearly understand, that we would see a picture in our mind of our hearts getting mauled by sin, that we would remember that silly example of foolish people that go over and over again into lions' cages, and that we would understand the seriousness of sin and the enemy that the Bible says prowls around like a roaring lion. Lord, would you help us see where we have raised up a baby lion cub that its bite didn't quite break our skin. It didn't do as much damage as we thought would really matter, but eventually, as we raise that cub, it's grown up into a true lion and it's killing us right now. Would you show everyone in this room the way that sin is killing us? And would you help us to make changes to stay out of that cage and away from anyone that would encourage us or tempt us to go into it? Would you free us from the sin that has taken so much of our lives? Show us the way to do that tonight and this week. In Jesus' name, amen.